Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training Advanced Clinical Resources show for today for the month of June. And I'm excited. I'm really, really excited to have a dear friend of mine here. Her name is Dr. Kim Diaramo. And Dr. Kim is unique in that she's a physician and she's been conventionally trained by the medical system. And the way she gets the best results with her patients is through mind-body medicine. She doesn't just do the prescription stuff. She does nutrition, but the big thing that she's known for is the mind-body medicine. So I'm going to allow her to tell you a little bit about that. She really recovered herself from a chronic illness using this. And so she uses it with her patients, but now she also trains other practitioners because everybody's saying, well, how did you do that? How did you get such great results with these really tough cases? And we all know that when we're working with people who are chronic and we use everything that we know, like we use all of our nutrition and we use all of our herbs and they're exercising and they're not getting well, we know that there's something more to it. And I invited Dr. Kim here today to share with you that something more that you can put into place. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Kim.
Thanks, Rita Marie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be connecting with your group and sharing what I found to be really powerful in my practice and to collaborate and connect with everyone here. So this presentation, you know, I basically titled it How to Use Mind-Body Medicine to Heal Your Patients and Yourself, but it really could be titled You Are the Medicine, because the basic message that we're going to be offering here is how the forces of health, of healing, of source energy that makes you alive, that creates your body, can heal your body from any illness that we've ever known about, and that can allow you as a practitioner to impart that healing force, that energy onto your patients to support them in their process. And that's really what I found to be more powerful than any single tool or modality or healing, you know, prescription or medicinal herbs or any nutritional regime, is what's happening within the patient in their own mind-body connection. So that's what we'll be connecting about here. Now, can you hear me okay? Or am I really echoey? Because I could use a microphone, Rita Marie.
I can hear you just fine. It's perfect here.
Okay, so I'm going to share my slides, but I'm going to come in and out because I want to connect with you guys and not just put these slides up. So this will guide you through the presentation, but I also, you guys have a copy of this, so that will allow you to kind of follow along. So as Rita Marie mentioned, I am a doctor in emergency medicine. I trained at Grady Hospital in Atlanta at Emory University. So it was a really intense level one trauma center. I got an amazing education in more conventional medicine because of that training, but I went to an osteopathic medical school. So it was years after having a really profound healing experience for myself that I found osteopathic medicine. And thankfully I did, because it really helped me have more of a core of understanding throughout medical school of understanding how the body heals itself, how the mind and body are connected, and to be able to sort of lace that through my concept of medicine and what I learned about the body, and then going on into a trauma emergency medicine residency to still be able to have that connection, that understanding that I had something special. I had something that went so far beyond surgery and so far beyond medications that could really allow me to connect with people at a deeper level and impart healing. And I could do this whether I was in the trauma bay in the ER or the critical care room in the ER. It was still something that I'd learned that I was able to bring in every single communication. And so that's what I want to share with you, is how do we do that? How do we bring that to the conversation right where you are? As opposed to, you know, when I finished residency, all of my colleagues told me, I just want to pay my student loans back and get out of here. Like, this is so toxic. I don't want to do this anymore. And you're so lucky that you have this other thing, this other layer that you bring to the table that is fulfilling to you for myself and is also healing on the part of my patients. So that's what I want to share with you. Okay. So, I don't think I shared my screen again. Here we go. Screen share. this one. So as I went through this journey, there are certain principles that I came to understand about medicine. And so these are like the three truths that most doctors do not know. The first one is that the body has the ability to heal itself. And I'm sure you guys are all learning about the amazing power of the body, where if we use certain nutrition or supplements or meditative techniques, there are ways that the body can heal virtually everything that we've ever seen in medicine. And we've seen this evidenced in so many research studies, and we just label it the placebo effect, and we kind of put it aside over there, and then we get back to the quote-unquote real medicine. But the fact of the matter is, it's actually more powerful than any medication that we've ever seen, and it's universal, meaning it applies, everyone has this ability, and it applies to every single disease that we've ever known, from Lyme disease to herpes to HIV to cancer, diabetes, you know, all of these things that we're currently spending billions of dollars trying to fix. The second principle, which is a truth that hasn't really been integrated into conventional medicine yet, is that the mind and body are connected. The mind and body are one. And this has been known for really thousands of years, but only integrated into medicine in the last 100 years or so. This is one of the principles of osteopathic medicine. And it's only in the last maybe 20 years that we have begun to find evidence of this in clinical research, meaning, you know, psychoneuroimmunology and the work of Joan Borisenko, the work of Herbert Benson at the Mind Body Institute at Harvard University. They have so much extensive research showing how the mind and body are connected, how our molecules of emotion impact every cell in our body, impact our DNA, that every thought we have is a chemical reaction in the body that has an impact on our health. And then the last truth about healing that most doctors don't know is that your structure and your function are related. So basically, if we have, you know, we even think about how chiropractors are using this. When we look at, you know, the spine and it's crooked or your head's not on straight, all of the neurologic connections going to your body, signaling to your body, which is like a whole orchestra of messaging, of music being communicated to your cells about their health, about your hormone balance, about your temperature, about every, you know, your GI function, absorbing nutrients, eliminating waste, all of those things have to do with the structure of your body. So all of that neurological communication and also your physical, you know, the fascia, everything that's wrapped around all of your organs and tissues, your body is completely connected. So if we forget this and we kind of just put that aside as if it doesn't matter, and we try to just manipulate the body into doing what we want it to do without honoring these three principles, it's a pretty irrational way of practicing medicine. And so this was really A.T. Still, who's the founder of osteopathic medicine, this was his whole premise. It was like, hey, rational medical treatment are founded on these three principles. So if you guys kind of think about in your whole education and experience, what have you experienced that could be called a medical miracle? Like, wow, that's a spontaneous healing, or that's a miraculous recovery. What have you seen in your experience that points to that, meaning that you're like, wow, this doesn't fit inside the model as I learned it, how things are supposed to happen and how things are supposed to work. So I want to just see, like, can they raise their hand or in the chat?
Sure, they can write in the chat. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So basically, what have you seen that kind of shows you like, whoa, there's something else out there. There's something else operating in the human system that makes me know that there's a bigger picture. There's a source of life. There's a source of healing, and it defies all of our current understanding of what we think is possible. Someone says, we're still seeing your cover slide. I don't know how.
That was me.
Oh, good. So, I just want to get a little bit of a connection with the practitioners here and what you're seeing in your practice, and maybe even some of the things you've done sort of defy the conventional medical thinking, and you're like, wow, I really need to get my message out there because more people need this. People are starving for this and suffering because the limitation in our current thinking doesn't allow room for this understanding.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll not see these assumptions that we have. I have had my own miraculous healing when I developed a spiritual practice. Thanks, Jane. That's really common because it, when we connect spiritually, it aligns our self, our awareness, with the source of our healing, the source of our life, the source of our birth, and the source, you know, if you cut your finger, it's going to heal. Well, there's some wisdom in your body telling your blood cells, telling your skin cells how to regenerate, telling your immune system what to do. And this is orchestrated like a grand symphony to work in harmony to allow you to have the highest level of health you have access to. So how can you expand that level of health? And when people do meditation or some of the mind body tools I'm going to talk about today and teach you, it allows them to connect with that source of health on a deeper level. So Beverly, I use energy medicine called sword fingers on my cat and saw instant results on how his leg was turned out and his other body parts have improved. Thank you. So when we kind of hear stories like this, especially for conventional doctors, it can so easily get brushed off because there isn't a context of understanding for how this works, how this happens, how this is even possible. So we're operating in this very small paradigm of what's possible. And there are all of these assumptions put in around that. Like, you know, if someone has cancer, we need chemotherapy or they're going to die. If someone has the genes for diabetes, they're going to experience diabetes and they'll have it for the rest of their life, especially assumptions about type 1 diabetes. Well, for all of these assumptions, they have already been proven wrong. I have seen people who are healing type 2 diabetes and type 1 diabetes, reversing type 1 diabetes in kids so they no longer need insulin. We've all heard of cases of cancer that, you know, stage 4 cancer, life-threatening, you're going to be gone in 3 months, and that person's alive 16 years later and walking and healthy. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more important to look at how does this happen, how does this work, and how can I expand my understanding of what the body is capable of doing and what's possible so that I can begin to apply that in my practice. So the other piece I want to talk about is that there's so much more that we don't know about healing, about the body, about life scientifically. There's so much more that we don't know than the tiny little minuscule amount that we do know. And so then we try to manipulate this and play with this and twerk it around and figure around. And we try to fix every problem we have from this very limited perspective. Well, it isn't a rational way to be practicing. And it's much more expansive to say, wow, this miraculous healing occurred for myself, for my patient, or some story I heard about. How is that happening? And let me create a new construct of reality that allows space for the things that are true, that I've seen to be true. And so understanding that we are energy, understanding how energy works, how it moves, what happens when our emotions aren't moving, how that can get stuck in the body, understanding what that means about healing and what tools will help a patient and myself to access that level of healing. So when we understand this idea and realization that, you know, every new breakthrough discovery was at first ridiculed, viciously ridiculed, before it's then incorporated completely and fully. Like Linus Pauling discovers penicillin and it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's incorporated completely and now it's part of every single, I mean, there are very few people who haven't been on an antibiotic at some level who are part of the conventional medical system. So I already know it's like preaching to the choir here because this group of people has already become open to new ways of thinking and new ways of understanding. So I want to bring you some of these tools that I have found. So this next piece of what we see, let me just share. What we see in specifically osteopathic medicine, which I think it's worth introducing here, is that the rational way to practice medicine is based on these three truths. And so whatever you're practicing, whether it's energy medicine or nutritional medicine, or you're using supplements or, you know, whatever it may be, you want to take into consideration these three truths about the body and about how the body heals. And so now, yeah, it's been scientifically proven and we have all this research. But that isn't why I've incorporated it into my practice. But it does allow us now to form a much stronger argument for why it needs to be incorporated as basis of how we practice. So this is my idea about why mind-body medicine will change everything and is, in fact, the next evolution of our medical system. We've learned more in the last 5 years about how the mind works and how the mind heals the body than we've learned in the entire history of mankind before that point. But it has still not been incorporated into the basis of conventional practice. So what we really want to remember is that you are the medicine. And when you come to the forum to support your patient, to heal your patient, to be of value to your patient, you need to remember that what's going on within you is the most important part of the equation. So when we talk about the mirror neuron effect is that like your energy system, your energetics are listening to everything around you, and they will mirror, not just at a conscious level when you see someone and she's got her chest open and she feels inspired and confident, your body will actually move to mirror that position because consciously you're paying attention to that. But also cellularly, there's a mirror neuron effect going on so that your chemistry will mirror the chemistry, the neurologic patterns, the emotional patterns of those people around you. And we can see this also in some research that's been done by the Institute of Heart Math, that if someone is in a state of anger, so there's certain chemicals going on in their body, there's a certain brain activity happening in their brain, and there's neurologic patterns that are communicating from the brain to the body. Well, what happens in the space around them that they'll see, you know, not only does it change their heart rate variability, it changes their blood pressure, it changes what's happening in their respiratory rate and how it's coordinated with their heart rate, but it also has an impact on all the people who are around them. And we can detect this up to 8 to 10 feet away from the physical body. That means there's some sort of energetic effect from what's happening with harmony or disharmony in my body to transmit to what will happen within my patient. And I'm sure you've all seen this kind of situation where a patient will come to you and they're like, oh my gosh, I just feel so comfortable talking to you. This is stuff I've never told any doctor. And they'll just like tell you all these different things. And it may be, this has happened to me so many times where they'll say, I didn't even remember that. I've never told anybody that before. And sometimes the reality is like, they've never even told themselves. Mm-hmm. What happens is you've ignited different parts of their brain, of their thinking, of their awareness, and brought them into a level of consciousness where they can open to new insight, new awareness, and they can open to healing. So for example, I had this woman, and she had a mild form of cerebral palsy from when she was very young, and she was adopted by very loving parents, but never really felt fully understood. So she developed all these kind of weird, obscure medical problems. And she was seeing like a behavioral psychologist. She saw a psychiatrist. She saw an immune, a doctor for her immune system. She had like a lupus kind of syndrome going on, and she was overweight, and she started getting depressed. So they put her on these antidepressant medications. I sat with her in my office for maybe like half an hour, and she describe some of these profound insights that she had. So she just had this car accident, and she came to me as an osteopathic doctor to help her structurally. But as we were releasing the pain, she kept recalling all of these old memories and this connection that she had with her car. She said, when I'm in my car, it's like I'm in my own world and I'm understood, and it's my life and it's my world, and I can be who I really am. And now my car is broken, and they told me that it won't be the same. And the mechanic said, like, you know, there's nothing wrong, but I can hear this noise in my car. It's just not the same. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't sound the same. So she started crying and crying and crying. What was happening for her was this awareness that I don't have my home anymore. I'm in a foreign place. So I helped her connect and commune with that feeling of home, that feeling of being accepted, of being loved. And what was going on with her car, you know, your car is really an analogy for what's happening in your body. And she was emerging into a new level of, you know, aliveness of her own individual, living on her own. She was about 30 years old, but wanted to kind of get out and live on her own. So all of these things she was explaining were really metaphors for what she needed in her life, how she needed to be heard, how she needed to be understood, how she needed to be listened to. And as I sat and listened and just allowed everything she said without trying to analyze it or fix it, she resolved herself. You know, she cried, she got tearful, but she awoke into a state of confidence, of I know that I can find the space that's right for me. I know that I can live independently. I know that I can release this pain, which she did. But it really, it completely changed her immune system functioning. She no longer, because I worked with her for a few months, no longer had problems with lupus, with all of that inflammation and the stress and that feeling constricted. But just listening allows your patient, like they will tell you what they need, but it's not like, here, I'm going to tell you so you can fix me. The healing happens in their awareness and in that sort of regurgitation, because they are releasing the pattern, the paradigm that's lived in them that created the illness. So my situation, you know, how present I am in my body, how I'm breathing, how I'm feeling, what emotional state I'm in, what brain firing patterns I'm in, all contributed to her system coming through this clarification, this metamorphosis, this awakening to a new level of consciousness. And that is what healed her body. So I want you to understand this, because it really empowers us as practitioners that we are the medicine. And so what do I need to do within myself to allow my body, my chemistry, my neurologic patterns to have a healing impact? Because I am the medicine. So when we, you know, when someone enters your room and they come in, you know what, I think, should I share, can I share half my screen so they see the slides?
I don't know that there's a way to do that. I think you have to share, I think it's all or nothing. You can, okay. Yeah.
You know, I think if I do this, here we go. This might be a better way to do it. Okay. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So what's the tonality when they enter? If you have a physical practice, what is your staff like? Is there harmony? Is your staff connected? Have you brought sort of a meeting of the minds to bring your staff up to snuff with your personal philosophy, who you are, what energy you are intending to embody? Because you can impart that into the walls. You can impart that into the furniture. You can impart that into the people who are working with your patients. And the healing happens when they invest, when they make an appointment, or they buy your product, or, you know, whatever it is. And certainly if you're online, you've learned that your website has a feel. When people gaze at that logo, it will impart chemical changes in their body. It actually can begin the healing process, or the connecting with you at your essence. So how do you want your patient to feel when they enter the room? Well, if you ask yourself, how do I feel when I go to work every day? How do I feel when I walk into that space? And for most doctors, I am completely sure with the research I've done, they don't want to be there. They don't want to be in that space. And I know for the people on this call, we're practicing in an unconventional way that's more aligned with who you really are. So can we put some thought even further into imparting that into the space that our patients enter? So I'm not the only one doing the work and trying to move a mountain, but that all of the space that they come into when they have an experience in my practice, whether it's online or physically, can assist me in this process. How they feel in my presence is going to determine what's happening internally and what's happening externally. So meaning their physical body, their chemistry, and what's happening in their life, with their relationships and their experience of, you know, their money, their career, all of those things are connected with their health. So the three functions that I found of your body that you can sort of be mindful of using to affect your patient is that your body is a receptor. So depending on what you're paying attention to, like what you put your awareness on, your thought, your body will receive different kinds of information. So your body's like a giant receptor, and there's actually infinite amounts of information sort of coming in at any given time. So if you think of your system like a radio tuner, there's all kinds of unseen radio waves that could potentially come in to be received, but you turn the dial and you receive just one specific station, you can hear it clearly. The same thing happens with your mind. If you are in an experience where you're, you know, you buy a new car, and so you're looking at like a blue Ford, and now everywhere you go, you're going in the same route to work every day, but now you see that color everywhere, and you see that make and model everywhere, and you're like, wow, where did all these cars come from? They weren't here before. What you've done is you have chosen to pay attention to different information. So you've basically let your mind know, this is the kind of information that's important to me right now. You do that, and I teach all these really cool mind body tools to help you do this. Like if you ask a different question, how can I be of most value to my patients today? know, if you want to show up and I want to make millions of dollars and I want my message to be known and I want to heal the world, well, you can ask simple questions. The questions we typically ask will cause our body to be a receptor to different kind of information. Oh, what's wrong with this patient? Oh my gosh, why won't she just take her supplements? Why won't they just blah, blah, blah? They're the same kind of questions your patients are probably asking. What's wrong with me? Why am I so tired? Oh my gosh, why didn't this thing work? We need to ask a different question if we want to get a different result. And that's how we can utilize this function of our body as a receptor. Because the solutions, just like all these different radio waves come into the radio receptor, the problems are going to float around and the solutions are going to float around. What you want to access is what is the solution. So you might ask a question like, what is the best way I can be of value to my patients today? And if I'm working with a specific one single person, I will say, if I'm still trying to find like, wow, there's so much going on, I'll say, what's the one thing I can do for this patient that will make all of the other problems dissolve or all of the other things unnecessary? What's the one thing that will have the most impact on helping support this patient in healing? So you can formulate that question any way that feels right for you in a given circumstance, but you want to form it in a way that calls in the solution you're actually looking for. So that's a really powerful thing to remember, is that your body is a receptor and you can channel in whatever information it is that you really want to have access to. The second piece is that your body is a transmitter. So your body is constantly sending messages to everyone and everything around you. Now, as a practitioner, there are so many obvious implications of how this is going to impact your patient. And my patient, Barbara, opened up in ways she'd never been able to communicate to anyone. Like she said, no one can understand how I feel about my car and why I'm so upset. But it was something that was happening kind of more in an existential level for her. She's ready for such growth to kind of fly the coop, so to speak. How can I support her in that by really listening? So she was able to go there simply because she was in a field of love and acceptance. And if I don't harbor love and acceptance for myself, I guarantee you that my patients will feel the lack of love and acceptance that I can have for them. They won't communicate the same way and tell me what would really be helpful. They won't be able to access it themselves because their brain is in a protective pattern, not an expressive pattern, which would allow them to go deeper because they feel the trust and the love from me. Those are the most powerful forces we have in our medical arsenal, love and compassion. Because when I can come into stillness in my own body, I'm present and there's like an unconditionality of it. Like no matter what this person says or does, I will stay in peace in my body. Not I'll help them find peace in their body because they really need it. And they're like, gosh, she's really got a lot going on. She needs some help. You know, how easy is it to feel overwhelmed when someone comes and they got like 50 problems and my fibromyalgia and then my rheumatologist told me that blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, there's like this compound effect and you can feel the heaviness. All I need to do when I'm in my body, because if you're not in your body, you're not even aware of any of that. All I need to do is feel it. Feel in my body the energy that patient is bringing up so that I can clear it. And I clear it right here. I clear it in myself so that I am transmitting the frequency of peace. That's how it works. That's how you heal. And that's why you can say, you know, here's your pill. You're going to take this pill. And you're no longer going to have headaches ever again. You're going to take this pill and you're no longer going to have depression ever again. Well, we already know that that works. It's already been shown. How can I ignite that so that whatever I'm giving my patient will have the intended impact? And this is one of the main ways. Okay. So the last piece is that your body is a transformer. Okay. So that I said to kind of sit with your own energy, feel what's coming up in the room as your patient is speaking. You transform that energy within your body. Your body has the ability to transmute energy. So there's this energy of this, wow, I can feel the heaviness of her despair. Well, I'm feeling it in my body. It isn't really over there. It's a co-creative process where I am sharing this patient's pain. And I am allowing myself to experience it. Now, if I do that with compassion, I can move fluidly through the experience my patient's sharing. If I have resistance because I'm scared of it, or I just want to fix the problem and make it go away, or I'm resisting in some way, I am not going to be of service to that patient. There's an amazing book that I highly recommend called Zero Limits. And it's written by Dr. Hugh Len, who was an MD. He's a psychiatrist. And he wrote it in conjunction with a man named Joe Vitale, who some people may be familiar with. He was actually in the movie The Secret. And Joe just found this doctor's work and was like, this has totally rocked my world. I need to get this work out in the world. So he created this book with Dr. Hugh Len. I started studying this. And he teaches the concept of Ho'oponopono, which is basically an ancient Hawaiian art of really owning 100% of everything that I experience. So if I see a person walking across the street, debilitated and, you know, crouched over with a cane and think, oh my gosh, it's so sad that as people get older, things like this happen. Or I see the same person and I think, wow, that's awesome. Good for him. It's great he has that tool to support him and he can still be out and about even in his old age. Whatever my experience is, it is 100% about me and 0% about what I'm seeing in the external world. Like that man walking across the street, he's just some sage helping me incorporate an experience within myself and become aware of my own judgments, assumptions, perspectives so that I can clear them and see the world as it really is. Well, that's the same with your patient. If you see, oh my gosh, it's so sad. Wow, it's pathetic. Oh, this woman is so stuck. God, she's never going to make any headway, which is what the experience is for them with most other practitioners out there. In the medical world, what you can gift them is this kind of practice where you embrace all that's coming up in your experience as something that is to be cleared for you. And so this is kind of the first tool that I'll share with you here is the gift of the Ho'oponopono. The most basic part of it is this four-part mantra. And it's, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And you could just use one of them. I love you. And when I'm with my patient, whether I'm treating them osteopathically or I'm on a Skype session and doing coaching, I allow that to be the record that's playing in the back of my mind because that patient is going to bring up all kinds of things unknown to me, judgments I've never even knew I held, maybe anger, frustration that hasn't all been released from my system. And the only thing that I can do is continue to clear that out so I can be a vessel of healing for them. And that happens by allowing me to use my body's ability to transmute energy. So that's kind of the third piece that I wanted to share with you there. And if you have questions, please post the questions as we go and Rita Marie will help me by bringing them to my attention. Mm-hmm. So your real impact is in your body, is in your words that you use, and is actually in your energy. How I sit when I'm in a session with a patient or even when I'm out of that communication and just walking around my real life, that has an impact on everything going on within me. And it allows me to be of greater impact on everyone that I connect with. So my posture, how I hold myself, that's going to create a chemical reaction in my body. That's going to create a neurological impact. The words I choose. Now, this has a lot to do with my tonality. My impact comes across in the space between my words. My words sort of just encapsulate the energy of the transmission of the communication. So am I using life-enhancing, empowering words, or am I buying into the victim mentality that so many of our patients have been getting bogged down with? The truth is that we are energy. Our communication is inner energy. Our impact on our patients is inner energy. This helps us understand how things like the placebo effect work. It helps us understand how it was the woman who spoke here. I can't see the chat anymore. Beverly, how is she helping this her friend? Oh, I'm sorry. Her cat by doing these energy techniques. I mean, what is that all about? How is that even possible? When we remember that we are energy, that everything is energy, we can allow this communication to flow in whatever way feels natural. Okay, someone said, my friend was very sick and hospitalized because of a cardiac spell of VTAC and then got pneumonia. I did energy healing with her on the phone and she would call and ask for more to help deal with her pain. It really works and I know this. I had a similar experience when I went into the hospital for a C-section. As soon as I got there, after 30 hours of laboring without any suffering, maybe some really intense pain, but I felt so much grace. But when we got to the hospital, that changed very, very quickly. There was a lot of stress and it was unthinkable how much it felt like the suffering was there. And so I did my breathing and I stayed present. And then all of a sudden I felt this, all of it uplift, like just lifted. And it felt like everything is okay. I felt a sense of peace. So the nurse came in and introduced herself and we started connecting and talking, and when she found out who I was and what kind of work my husband and I did, she said, well, I do Reiki. And that's kind of one of the things I use in my nursing. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the best thing I've ever heard. And so I told her my experience and she said, yeah, I had just Reiki'd the room right before I came in. I was like, I couldn't thank her enough. Like the gratitude just was so immense. So Jane, as a transmitter, do you feel a patient needs to identify their needs first before they transform? This is a great question. The answer is no. They don't necessarily need to be conscious of any of this energy in order to necessarily release it. It actually can take place in me where I become conscious and I'm transmitting and I'm creating that space of even more clarity, love, compassion, peace, you know, just even more unconditional well-being that can automatically clear my patient's space, my patient's consciousness, my patient's awareness. And it happens all the time. People walk in a room and they're like, there's an angry person in there, and then they feel bad. They don't know why. Or the opposite. They walk in a room and they feel like uplifted and joyful and it's amazing and wow, I really like this person. And they don't know why, nor do they know that they just released and let go of a bunch of toxic thoughts they've been focusing on and kind of stirring up in their own body, and that they're now in a different pattern where they're not creating that toxicity and creating that disease. So to completely release it, it usually does come up for question within their system at some level of consciousness, but it can be as simple as, yeah, I choose to embrace full aliveness and release everything that's been staying in the way. That can be their new conscious communication. It doesn't need to be, yeah, I really am ready to let go of all that anger at my dad for what happened when I was young. Like, they don't necessarily need to even go there. Okay, so we'll move on a little here. Thank you for the question. So how do we use this all, this premise? Because I know a lot of people talk about mind-body medicine. It's all really wonderful. Wow, this is so cool. But you kind of find a practical way to use this, to ground this principle in your body so that you make it happen every day. So the first piece is that you must get present. And the best way to get present is to enter your body, to feel your body, to connect with your body, because your body only lives in the present moment. It cannot live in any other reality. It can't live in the past. It can't live in the future. It can't live in this like identity of who I think I am as a healer, as a doctor, as a woman, as a wife, as a blah, blah, blah. The body doesn't actually hold that idea. The body holds what is real and what is true. So how can I get connected with that? The easiest way is to get present and feel my body. So there's a couple components of that. You want to first feel. So the first thing for most people, especially if you're going to teach your patients to do this, they need to have an access point, because it's like, oh, just get present. And you'll just like snap out of it and stop creating all that toxic, carcinogenic, cancerous chemistry in your body. Well, you have to have them get like, where do I go? So feel your body. Is there tension? Do you feel your shoulders? You know, move your neck around a little. Feel your spine come nice and straight. Feel your seat on the seat. Feel what's happening. And that's all physical. And then as we practice, we develop the ability to become aware on a deeper level of what's happening in the body. So there's the physical, but now there's also that like mental, emotional. How am I feeling? And you just start with a scale of 0 to 10. 0 is like, oh my God, the worst thing in the world. And 10 is, I feel amazing and elated and joyful and I feel fully alive and like the world really is infinite. So that'd be a 10. And so for a lot of people, they may not be able to identify emotions, and we haven't been taught the language of that. Like in our culture, oh, I'm so angry. That might be the best you ever do is to identify some anger, but most people won't even do that. They'll just say, you shouldn't have done that. I can't believe you're doing that to me. This is wrong. And that's the only way they can communicate how they feel. So to become aware of this internal scale and a sense of, oh, I'd say I feel about a 6 right now. And so, okay, I'm going to intend to shift up to like 7, 8, 9. I want to intend to move up the scale. So the second piece after feeling, which is bringing your awareness into your body, is to breathe. So I'm going to breathe slowly, bring my breath all the way down to my pelvis. And I teach people a way to breathe, and you guys can do this right now. So if you close your eyes And let your breath come all the way deep into your body. All you need to do is intend for that to happen. So you imagine experiencing that. Where your mind goes, your body will follow. So if I were to tell you to allow your belly to relax and balloon out as you inhale and allow your body to sink back in as you exhale, there's some ways you could try to do that, which could just cause struggle. Or you could just let the breath come and imagine this happening, because as your mind goes, your body will follow. So just imagine that you breathe in slowly and your belly balloons out and it relaxes. And imagine that you release the breath and your belly sinks back in. And you could squeeze out that little extra exhale. Let the breath come in smoothly and feel, just imagine you could feel the breath come all the way to your pelvis. Taking a few breaths like this turns off the sympathetic nervous system. The most important thing you can do for your patients is to turn off the sympathetic fight or flight response, because they have a natural healing force in their body that will allow them to take advantage of whatever modalities you are doing, which are actually just the tip of the iceberg. What's happening in their body is the bulk is the foundation. So allowing them to breathe this way and connect mind and body is the most important thing. So the third piece is that you choose consciously, now that you've gotten out of fight or flight, now that you've slowed your breathing and brought your awareness into the present moment, you will choose, everything that you choose will be different. What you say, or if you say nothing and you remain in silence, you know, like if I'm in a conversation with my husband and I just have to say that, oh, I can't believe he's doing that. And then I just do this tool and get present. It always changes my behaviors, my reactions, because I'm not reacting. I can now respond and be conscious in my choice. Okay, any other questions there? So then I basically put this together in a formula called the Instant Elevation Technique. And there's a video I have that I have like a bonus just for this group, and it's a really great bonus. So I'm going to share this with you. It's a video that guides you through it, but it's Aware, Breathe, Choose, ABC. And it will instantly elevate you. So if you're at like a 4, 5, 6, and now, wow, I'm at a 9. I feel light. I feel well. You have shut off the toxic chemistry in your body. You've shut off the toxic brain patternings of firing when you're in fight or flight, when you're in the sympathetic nervous system response that takes over your brain and actually like makes you do really irrational things. So the Aware, Breathe, Choose sequence allows you to really make a huge change in what's happening in your body and in your behaviors, your even your tone of voice. All of it will change, so your impact will change. I'm going to skip through a few of these things, but the core piece of this is this next slide is that emotions, this is just energy that's stuck in your body, is what creates the pathologic conditions that we're seeing, that we're trying so hard to fix. It's energy in your body from anything unresolved, anything that has not moved through you and been completed. So what I found is that by allowing and supporting my patients in feeling and experiencing the energy in their body, that it will eliminate 90% of their pain, anxiety, depression, despair, inflammatory problem, bowel problem, etc. Fill in the blank. And then the other 10%, which ends up sometimes being less than that, will be easily addressed and met. Meaning, oh, there's a simple supplement that's going to help you eliminate the rest of the candida. Oh, there's this simple herb that's going to help to release the rest of your migraine headaches. You know, some simple thing that they easily have access to. Or if it is a big, you know, hey, you're going to go and learn all about homeopathy, it's something that is supportive to them and transforms their life in a really important way. But it accesses them to a deeper experience of what the quote unquote problem is, just by helping them, assisting them, supporting them through this ABC of experiencing what's in their body and allowing it to move. So these are the lies that doctors are taught, like these incurable illnesses, then we need to fix our patients and we need to fix the problem. So there are a lot of assumptions that we make with that faulty premise. So I want you instead to have some tools about what can I ask instead? What's this person's body really capable of? What, why, oh, what do I say? How can I expand what's possible for this patient? How can I expand the realm of possibility? And that will bring different information into your system about what you're doing. If healing is already happening, the placebo effect's already happening, what can I do to support it in this patient? So the easy ways to help heal your patients in three easy steps. So you want to do the ABC in yourself. You want to become aware, feel your body. You want to, and you can identify kind of what are you feeling. You want to breathe, change your breathing, get out of fight or flight. It will change your brain pattern. And then you want to consciously choose. So the consciously choose can be something as simple as I choose to behave in the ways that serve my life best. I choose to serve my patient in the way that's right for him or her. I choose to be present in my body and emit the frequency of love so that my patient can heal. Any conscious sort of choice that you want to make that is going to sort of bump your system into a new level of experience. And then you kind of just feel, what do I feel? What's coming up? Is there energy that needs to move? And can I sit and be present with it and just allow the intensity of it, however big it is, to move with my breath? And the next piece is I can clear my internal state and use a mind-body tool. So I wanted to give you some of these. Just, you know, we can go so much deeper into this, and I'm happy to support you guys in any way. But there are tools that I've created. So one is affirmation. I just put a really cool message out this week to my list about how to create affirmation, because people get really stuck in this idea about positive thinking. I need to be positive. Everything's awesome. No, I don't feel that. And what really needs to happen is more truth. How can I tell myself the truth about what I am feeling and just love it and accept it and not try to fix it and make it go away? That takes immense trust in the power of my body to heal. Because the more I see that problem, that bad thing, and the more judgment that's on it, it's like, I've got to fix it. It's so unacceptable. But if I really can come into harmony and allow this shift to happen and know the power of my body can transmute energy. That is what my body is here for. Now I can allow myself to experience the rage, the anger, the despair, the powerless, the fear, how huge the fear can be. How massive, overwhelming, just can feel like I am going to die. And will I still be willing to just breathe, not move, not react, not fix, not scream, not run for help, just take three more breaths. And then I can go about whatever it is I feel inspired to do, compelled to do, but at least I've shifted just with those three breaths to even a slightly higher level of consciousness. So the affirmation, my self-talk. Touch is important. I have this one tool in this program I created called the Mind-Body Solution. So you increase your oxytocin. You just slowly, slowly, slowly bring your hand from behind your earlobe all the way around, kind of just along sternocleidomastoid muscle, just slowly. And you, no one even needs to know you're doing it. Right now you can just kind of like, whoa, really get into it. But you could do this, like if you're in a meeting, you're in a conversation, like anytime, and just tell your body, like, I see you. I love you. You're amazing. You have all of my love. Just like you would tell a little child. You can do this also right up the inner arm. So you start right at your wrist. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Now, if you practice doing this and you just bring your awareness, all of your attention right into how does my arm feel as it's being touched by my hand? How does my hand feel as it glides along my arm? You're getting so much information into your body, and what you're doing is bringing your awareness into that. So you just magnify the response that's happening here. You get this huge oxytocin surge, because that's what happens, like the touch and connection and bonding, and you shift your hormonal state. So you bring yourself into greater health. EFT tapping is one of my favorite modalities. Do any of you guys use EFT? I want to kind of see a little bit of a,
I use it period. I don't, you know, I'm not an expert in it, but I use it a fair amount, over the phone with people to just kind of get them to calm their emotions down and get at some of those.
It's one of the most useful things I've found for virtually everything, because everything that is the problem is always within our body. Like, yeah, it's my cancer or my diabetes or whatever, but it's the frustration I have or the powerlessness I have with this problem that prevents it from healing smoothly. So EFT is emotional freedom technique, meridian tapping. And you just do like gentle, percussion over the meridian points. And, what it does is it gets the whole system, the operating system of like the toxicity. Oh my God, it's not okay. Life's not safe. I got to fight for myself. I have to protect myself, men are bad, whatever all of the subconscious understandings are. And it just gets that cleared so that I can put new information in. The world is safe. My body heals. I have access to source energy. I love my body. I have the resources I need. That information can't go in while I'm already in the chaos of the drama of what is. So the EFT I found just allows everything, the brain patterns, to slow down. And I have, it's really, really easy to learn the basics of EFT. So I have a link in the bonus that I created for you where there's the first video is bringing you much deeper into the premise of what is EFT? What's the science behind it? What is it supposed to be doing? How can I understand it? How can I explain it to a patient? And then the second piece is to bring you through using EFT and a EFT series that you might use with your patient. So that's going to be a great value to you to help expand and support like whatever you're currently doing to use this as a support. Because whatever you're doing, like I said, just like an affirmation, it is not going to go in and work to the level it has the power to if the system is toxic, if the system keeps recreating the toxic pattern. So you've got to have this new foundation of well-being. Now you put in fill in the blank, homeopathy, nutrition, Reiki, you're going to have 1,000 times more of a powerful response and one that can stay and remain because you've turned off the toxic cause. And then imagery. So it's really simple to allow the body to come into harmony, chemically, mentally, emotionally, or physically, if you use your imagination. So if I just imagine, like, say I told my patient, there's this broccoli pose, right? So you open back and you've got like a pillow between your shoulder blades and you lay back. And after 5 minutes, like you cannot feel depressed. It just, you're creating so many amazing emotions in your body. So you can do it seated. You can do it laying down. You can just do it at your desk, even just like a little tiny lift of your chest, and it will create a new chemical response in your body. Well, you breathe this way for a few minutes, you'll feel it. So one of my writers said, well, I have this arthritis in my shoulder and I have this problem in my back. And how, you know, would it still be okay for me to do this? So I said, you know what? You just sit in whatever's comfortable position for you, close your eyes and imagine your body coming toward, just slightly toward that position. Just opening even just a teensy bit, opening your chest to the sky, even just a tiny bit, opening your shoulders back, and then allow yourself to just imagine if you were in the full position and surrendering and opening, letting your chest breathe fully. And so the response will be there because as your attention goes, your body follows. So it isn't so much about the physical three-dimensional reality that we're trying so hard to manipulate. It is really about what happens in the mind-body connection. So I've used imagery very powerfully to help my patients.
It's so, like Beverly and Sequoia and Lynn say they've used tapping, and Lynn says she uses it with essential oils.
So smart.
Yeah.
So smart.
Yeah.
So
Jane said it's the one tool that doesn't work for her. Any ideas why?
I can help you with that. You can actually email me what kind of challenge you're happening. The one biggest reason that I see, just like every single other tool out there, why EFT doesn't work when it doesn't, or when it's limited, like, wow, I got better, but I still have some pain, is because we're using it to try to fix a problem. What this is meant to be used for is to love and nurture your body. And of course, the premise is that when the body receives the love and nurturance, the compassion that it needs, yes, it will heal. Yes, you will live pain-free. But when I've had my patients using EFT, trying to fix the problem, trying to feel, I gotta get out of pain, I gotta have so much pain. Okay, I love and accept myself fully. I love and accept myself fully. I'm loving and accepting myself so that I get out of pain. It isn't the same as unconditional love. You know what? If this is how my body wants to be right now, I love this pain. I love the experience of pain because it's grown me. It's taught me to be more compassionate. I agree to embrace as much pain as life has for me. Mm-hmm. And I know on some level that there's a gift in it. And all you're doing is letting down. It's not like saying, I want more pain. You're letting down some of the resistance. Yes, even though I prefer it just go away, I'm going to choose in this moment to just allow myself to appreciate it, that maybe there's a gift here. And okay, that's fine. Maybe I have my doubts about it, but I'm just going to entertain the hypothetical possibility and just breathe just for a moment. So that lets some of that kind of unconditional love eke in. And it's so powerful that, you know, I had a guy with a year long of severe, intense shoulder pain, couldn't sleep. And I'd wake him up every night. He'd been to do acupuncture. He'd been to chiropractic. He'd been for an herbologist. He'd been physical therapy. He did medications, did everything. And it wouldn't get better. It wouldn't get better. And he's an EFT practitioner. So he was using EFT. And we did, because I know him and just love this guy really a lot. I said, let's just get on a Skype right now. So we did like a 20-minute session. And we did this kind of thing using the EFT to love and accept myself fully, to embrace the pain and open to the possibility of how could this be growing me? How come maybe it's growing my practice of how I'm going to have compassion for others? So he opened into that. So it was like a week later, he said, yes, it's, you know, 80% gone. I'm sleeping better. I feel better. I still have this pain. Like what is it? What am I missing? Because it still flares up. And so what I did was I created a video for him. He's in my online forum, and I helped him to embrace this pain and do the EFT as a way of loving the pain, as a way of, I surrender to the desire of wanting this pain to go away. I get it. It's off the table. I will no longer put my energy into wanting it to go away. I am putting all of my energy into self-love, self-acceptance, and embracing all that is in my body. And he did it. And the next day, he told me he's 100% pain-free. Slept through the night, no pain. And I was so inspired by that, because this is the core of the basis of my work, is that unconditional love heals the body. But it's how I'm using those modalities to fix myself. It's always going to limit. It's not the same. And your body knows the difference between conditional love, that's like, I love myself and the purpose is so I get to feel better, and unconditional love, which is the most healing force that we have.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. I really like that.
I bought the World Tapping Summit years ago, and I want to use it much more. That friend I helped with energy is now back to running her store again, using EFT to help her and friends and people in her little store, and it's awesome. Yeah, I was in the World Tapping Summit this year and did a piece for kids with anxiety. And next year, we've recorded a piece. It was outstanding for using EFT with anxiety. And I did speak to this exact point about one of the things that I see hold people back from really getting the full result they want. And it was exactly this that we've been talking about here. So I have the link, and you've shared that. What's on that bonus for you is my best-selling book, The Mind-Body Toolkit, which has these 10 tools in it. And each of them has a powerful mind-body healing modality. They're easy, they're fun. You can use them anywhere when you're online at the grocery store to allow that healing chemistry to immediately kick in, so you start reversing and healing disease. There's also the Instant Elevation Technique, which is the ABC tool that I told you. I walk you through that in a video. There's the 5 Instant Energizers. The 5 Instant Energizers is a series that I did that are mind-body tools that instantly shift your chemistry. I showed you one of them here, which was like the oxytocin surge. And then the EFT Meridian Tapping Training Series. This is we just basically walked very briefly into what EFT can do and how you can begin to use it. But this series that I created is specifically for doctors to help you understand some of the basics. Like, how do I use this with my patient? How do I explain it to my patient? How do I know what to tap on with my patient? So I have a little series there for you. And that's a video that there's 2 videos that you'll get there.
That's cool. So all of that stuff is there.
Yes.
Is everything great?
Yes. I think the thing to leave, to end with here is for each of us to remember that our body really is that powerful. The healing impact of the source energy that creates us really is that powerful. And it has the ability to instantly change what's happening in your body, and it has the ability to heal your patient. And what I'm most passionate about is allowing this understanding and the practice of this principle to transform our current medical system, so that we have a medical system based on love and compassion, based on true service. And that comes from allowing. It comes from non-judgment. It's not about controlling or fixing. So we're leaving those old concepts behind as we each individually have the courage, the bravery to embrace this truth and let it do the work for us and to allow this to be the force that supports our patients.
Thank you. Wow. This is awesome stuff. And, you know, it's not new to all of us that, you know, like sometimes I know you speak at medical conferences and they're going, holy cow, what is all this stuff? So you've got this receptive audience, but it's the practicality of it. Like Jane was saying, I've been taught EFT to solve a problem. And if we teach our clients, patients, tools, techniques, whether it's nutrition or mind-body techniques, but we teach them with the intent to solve their problem versus the intent to just restore balance and be in a place of love and healing, then that's when it doesn't necessarily work.
Yes. And I think as practitioners, it can be really scary to like not just fall on sort of the third dimensional reality of our tool, like this is what does the work, and to allow ourselves to be the power and to really transcend the tool, transcend the physical reality and create, because we are creators and we can create a world of peace. Yes. I'm seeing a question that Martha asked, what if someone has trouble with loving themselves? That's really the core of the work I do. And it always comes down to that. There's whatever there is illness or anxiety, depression, pain, there is some level of resistance to what is. So I'm going to resist this pain. I'm going to resist this depression. I don't want to feel depressed. I want to feel happy and joyful. Well, guess what? There's something in there to be experienced, felt, and allowed. And so just like a little child, I'm not going to tell my kid like, all right, stop crying. You're fine. Okay. I'll give you a cookie. You're okay now. Like I'm going to encourage and support her to feel her emotions. And I'll let her know like you're upset. I know that's hard when something like that happens, and just sit with her for a moment and then, you know, escort her into a new focus. It's the same way that we learn to love ourselves. It is learned, Martha. It is so learned. And thank you for asking that. We're all learning. I'm learning how, you know, because every day more little pieces of resistance come up that I didn't know I had. So every day is an opportunity to love myself in a more expansive way. So I think that's what we're here as practitioners to do, is help support our patients. They're coming to us out of some level of self-love because they wouldn't aspire to the well-being they're really after if they didn't have it in there. How can I support them in experiencing that more fully? And that's really what this work is about.
Yeah, I love that. And I just wanted to share a little story because recently I've been working with somebody over years, lots of chronic things, and she's been doing tapping and she's been doing some of the meditations from the Dr. Joe Dispenza's stuff with the You Are the Placebo, and she's been doing a lot of that and making progress. And one day she said, "Should I had the most amazing experience this morning I want to tell you about." She's always been, everything about her is bad, right? I did this and I'm bad and I'm evil and this. And she said to me, I looked in the mirror and I said, I love you. And she said, I just started crying and I felt it. And it was such a breakthrough moment for her to actually experience that self-love.
And that's a powerful way to do it. That's one of the mind body tools in my book. It's this mirror exercise. And you'll find like it's one of the hardest things to do is to look in your own eyes and say, I love you, or to stand naked in the mirror and say it to each body part. Like I've had women tell me like I broke down sobbing. And I had to come back again and again before I could complete the exercise. And so you start to see what's been living in there.
Yeah.
And it's what creates disease, and we can't fix it. You just have to allow it to dissolve in the light of love. And we have that ability inside ourselves. So every modality that we're using, let's use it in alignment with that energy, in alignment with the energy of appreciating our patient and their experience, and finding that level of allowing as we support them into coming into a new experience.
Right. Awesome. So questions, anybody has questions, go ahead and just put your questions in the box. I'm sure this is, you know, probably evokes some emotion and some questions for sure. So go ahead and ask them.
And I love that Jane says, I now feel the need to teach how I overcame my year-long anxiety and panic in 1 month. Well, God bless you. Wow. Millions and millions of people on their knees right now praying that you will come into their lives and do exactly that. Beverly, we can totally create a loving world. Yes, And if we can just share unconditionally the love we feel, it can go so far to those around us. Be generous. Yeah. So then I'm going to invite myself into that and invite you to embrace that and to, you know, embody that and be that energy that you are sensing is ready to emerge.
Yeah. It's interesting, this whole perspective and where this has come, because I, right before this, I've been nonstop since early this morning, and I had, was on a call and somebody Skyped me, a new client, and she Skyped me and said, I'm at the airport, I'm traveling, and I have, you know, you have a quick something I can do for anxiety, and I'm feeling really anxious. And I don't have time. I'm listening to someone else. I can't divert my attention. I said, I'm on another call, but EFT, you know, tapping and heart math. Those are the two best things that you can do, and you can do them. They're portable. They're on the run. I think they're awesome. There's a guy that does, that spoke on the, he spoke on the Tapping World Summit a couple of years ago, and he said, a lot of times you can't just be sitting in a meeting going like this. People look at you like you're nuts. He said, you use the ends of the meridians and you just do these little circular motions, and you think your thoughts, you think your unconditional love thoughts, and you just go through. I'm just doing it now. I'm getting a tingle through my entire body.
Cool.
It's a very subtle way. And he explained how he had done it when he was in some really tense meeting with a teacher about his son, and he could just feel all this anxiety about wanting to make it right. And he just sat there and nobody knew he was doing it. You just fold in your hands. So there's ways to do it in public. You certainly know you can do heart math in public. I'm a big fan of heart math. I know we've had that discussion before, and I teach people, it's like, you're just doing it all day long. You feel that feeling come up and you go into that place.
You know, and it doesn't mean that we don't take out the appendix that's infected. It doesn't mean we don't give
morphine
when someone's arm is falling off. It means that we embody this frequency so that whatever medicine's given, whatever surgery is performed, whatever intervention is done, whether it's pharmaceutical or non-pharmaceutical, that we can have the best and highest outcome for what that intervention has to offer. And I've seen it in the ER every single day have a profound impact. And you know, like 85% of the stuff that comes into the ER is not an organic medical problem. So then they end up really with not a great solution. But when I've seen the patients, I intend that they will have the highest outcome that they have access to, that they will have the transformation that they're seeking so that they're free to continue to expand in their life. And it does make a difference, because those patients come in chest pain, short of breath. And then we end up, they're tearing and crying and telling me about, you know, a heartbreak that recently happened, and that their partner got, you know, thrown in jail or something happened, and they release the energy, they release the emotion, and now they don't have chest pain and they're no longer short of breath and they no longer have anxiety and they're healthy, they're well, and they know what the next step is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have people who, you do everything, you know, nutritionally and herbally, and they're eating the right diet and their blood sugar's balanced. And they're like, why am I not better? Why
am I not better? I've been
on greens for all these months and I'm not better yet. And I'm like,
and this is what Laura's asking is, what do you recommend when people feel like they love and accept themselves just as they are, but they're still struggling with medical conditions or challenges? So this is the thing, is like, you could feel like you love and accept yourself, but if you're struggling, there's resistance. So if you have, okay, I have cancer, but I love and accept myself fully and I embody the light of true abundance, and it's okay, I'm going to die, and that's where I am. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't die. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't still have cancer. It means that you live in the truth of light, of well-being, of abundance, and of your true joy, and that you embrace all that is so completely that you move with grace fluidly through the process of an illness advancing, or through the process of whatever the challenge may be, and not with the attachment that it needs to be the way I want it to be. Things need to work out the way I think that they should work out, because that's always going to come from a limited understanding of what really serves humanity and yourself to the highest degree. So if you're struggling by virtue of the fact that there's struggle, that is resistance. That is a lack of complete acceptance. And it's not like there's anything wrong with that. We're all moving toward greater and greater degrees of unconditional love and unconditional acceptance. So I would invite that person into, how can you release the struggle with this medical condition or with this challenge by allowing what is to an even greater degree.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest thing I'm taking away from this is that whole, when people are asking, like, well, why isn't this working? That therein lies the problem, right? Because they're not just doing it for the sake of love, they're doing it for the sake of balance, doing it for the sake of providing,
yeah, trying to fix the problem,
and allowing the body to just do its thing. And they're getting in the way of that by constantly checking. Oh, it still hurts. This isn't working. Maybe I need to try something else. And so that to me is really, it just really hits the nail on the head.
Yes. And it's like an oxymoron. I get it. Cause I've been through this challenge so many times. It's like, well, why do I bother loving and accepting if I still have to deal with this problem?
Right.
So every day there will be something,
yep,
that shows up to bring you, allow you to come into greater love and greater acceptance. And that's our work. And it is already having a huge impact on the frequency of the planet, the level at which we can have this conversation. Like, we can hold this consciousness and it's okay. 10 years ago, it was like really weird.
Yes, especially in medical settings, right? It was like, those are the shamans and the hoaxsters versus, you know, a medical doctor in an emergency room or an emergency room nurse, you know, doing Reiki on the room before, and you felt it. You didn't know she was doing Reiki on the room, right?
Yes. And I think it certainly saved my daughter. I mean, there's no question in my mind that we had a dramatically better outcome than what I felt was imminent after that shift.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. A couple of other questions Laura has. Yeah. Beverly, as a physician's assistant, I'd love to work in a practice with someone like yourself. Do you know, you got to move to Colorado. Do you know any MDs or DOs that would welcome an integrative PA who can help patients utilizing these methods in California?
Yeah, the best way to answer or to open any opportunity in our lives is always by asking those questions too, and knowing, like, I, as a receptor, I'm going to all of a sudden become aware of opportunities I didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. And as a transmitter, I'm transmitting different information to the world about myself and about what I want. So I will end up getting a different result. Like, someone will just say something to me, or I'll end up sitting on the plane next to someone and it's like, oh my God, I know someone who wants this or that. And life does work through synchronicities. Yeah. But those synchronicities happen when I align myself with my highest intention. So to the tools I went through briefly in the outline, but to bring yourself into that instant elevation technique so that you release whatever energy is ready to move. And then you mindfully bring your awareness to, what is my intention? What am I opening into now? Where's my next, you know, evolution of my career? And so we can become in a place where we feel really powerless about that. Like, oh my God, how would I ever find this? I don't know what I'm doing. My job situation is so not like this. Or we can allow ourselves to align with the empowerment. Wow, my cells are listening to everything I'm focusing on. I'm going to start singing a different song.
Sing a different song, yeah.
Different place.
Yeah, they're eavesdropping. There's a few others here. Just to acknowledge you, Lynn, this is wonderful. Thanks for your generosity. And Jane, this is a fantastic presentation. Thank you. And then Tony, thank you so much. Love is the answer to so many problems. It's so true. And it seems just so, people get to the point where, oh, that's so trite, right? Love is the answer. Oh yeah. You're so woo woo and you're so in a cloud.
Yeah.
But really it is so powerful. And I've seen it over and over.
That and once you put it into practice, you find it's the hardest thing you ever did.
Yeah. So Lynn says, I also think that as we love ourselves, people are attracted to that because it's what they seek. And it's true. They're like, wow, it's so great to be around you. And I feel so good when I'm around you.
And the mirror neuron effect kicks in so that they can allow themselves to immediately come into that state. Now, whether they hold it now that they're not in your frequency is where the work comes in. You can teach them some tools. You can help them to embody it now more unconditionally. Yeah, it's easy to feel love when you're in a field of love, but then you go home from the retreat or the workshop and you're like, oh my gosh, the world is really small. Can I share something before we finish?
Please do.
It's really inspiring, but my husband and I have been living for the last few years. We decided to sort of opt out of the conventional norm of what so many other friends of ours have done in medicine, where, you know, you invest and get the big house and you get the whole life going and everything's kind of revolves around what you're doing in your career and you got to go to work every day and stay in the system and whether you like it or not. What we decided to do when we became entrepreneurs was really commit ourselves to this path and this process, invest ourselves. So fully knowing this was going to create for us a life that supported us. So we got out of this big, big house because we wanted to just have as minimal expenses as we could so we could really invest in what we were doing. And we had a lot of dark days, but we had our little tools that we would do to inspire ourselves. So we're living in this tiny little apartment. Really, I mean, it was like, I hadn't lived in a place like this since college. But we'd get up every day and we'd be like, woo-hoo! And he would say it and I would say it in response. And then my daughter would do it, or I'd remember to do it. And then he'd do it in response, like every day, just to keep ourselves remembering like who we are, what we're doing, what it's for, because we're in this space. So we did finally find our dream home and created the circumstances that allowed us to come out here and move into it. And today's actually the day that the movers come with our stuff. We've been waiting for our stuff for that. So in this, it's a beautiful home. It's empty right now, but it's just stunning. Big high ceilings. And this is what I wanted to share with you guys, because the view is those are the mountains out there.
Wow.
And it's so inspiring to be here. So every call I'm on with my group or an individual client, they can be in those pits of despair. And I used to sometimes really feel that too. And now it's so easy for me to lift them right out of that into a new consciousness. And I'm just looking at the space around me and it lifts me. It supports me. And the premise though is that, I believed first when I didn't see it around me, I believed in something that was inside me, this feeling of vitality, this feeling of abundance. And I knew that it was only a matter of investing more energy, more attention into that it would show up in my life and surround me. And so that's where I am now. And I just want to share that as an inspiration for everyone that that is the way life works. It's as within, so without. And so when we take our attention off the problem, off the disease, off the illness, and put our attention into how can I support this patient's well-being, that will be the solver of the problems.
Absolutely. I love that. I love the way you to embrace that, because we talk about that a lot as I teach the heart math techniques. And we talk about how you picture the environment, you go back or you go forward to that environment where you truly want to be. And your nervous system gets the intention. It learns how to do that. It learns how to feel when you're in that situation. And that's a really great testament to you just manifesting this amazing dream place that you're now living in. And we so appreciate you taking the time on moving day to be with us here. Gosh, you could be doing unpacking boxes.
So much for having me here. It's been such a pleasure. And I just want to send so much love to the group. And yeah, I'm here as a support. And I'll be in contact. Once you come in for the bonus, it will ask you to enter your email. So I'll be sending you my mind body tools. Of course, you can opt out if you're not interested in that. But I think it's something that will really feed and nurture you into continuing this conversation and this work in your life.
Yeah, thank you so much. I just want to read a couple of other, is that okay?
Yes.
Just read a couple of other questions or comments. Tony says, I'm working with someone who is finally aware that stress is causing imbalances for her. Wahoo! I've introduced her to many modalities to explore and learning heart math, yoga, nidra, etc. Nothing resonates with her. Not sure how to move her beyond this awareness point.
Yeah, I just responded to her because I was really touched by that. This is one of those perfect examples where you realize that it is your essence and not the tool and not the modality. Because when nothing else can get through, this will always get through. This, your essence, your energy is always communicated. So what will take for you to deepen your, how much you trust that power to be the mover of obstacles, to be the remover of obstacles, to be the healing force. Because if her mind's bumping everything out, no, that's not good. Well, what will go in? And there's really one thing. So you vest yourself in that fully. She's showing up to you for a reason. There's a reason she keeps knocking back on your door. So stop working hard and you get out of strife, because this is like, hey, this is going to happen. Or it's not. Get into ease and allow this transmission to happen and you release all attachment.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in Durango, eh? That's a beautiful part of the state.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's not too far from Ouray, which is one of my absolutely favorite places in the whole wide world.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's nearby. Pretty cool.
Yeah. And Lynn points out you're near Katrina Blair. I don't know about if you know her, Turtle Rock Refuge. She's really close to you. She is, if you don't know her, you've got to meet her. You guys would just like really connect. She's really into plants and she's like the energy of the plants and the healing properties of the plants. And she's just, you know, you would love her.
Cool.
Yeah. She would love you. Yeah. Katrina Blair, Turtle Lake Refuge.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Got it. You know, Tony, it's a great realization, right? I won't solve a problem for her.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm just going to keep being me and give her the unconditional love. And yeah. Wow. Thank you so very much for being here today, Dr. Kim, and for sharing from your wisdom and from your really pure heart and your love. So thank you very much, everyone, for being here and being a part of this and sharing. Thank you. Thank you. And for your gifts. I can't wait to have everybody exploring those and really using them to help to transform. So it's so freeing, right? It's so freeing to be, oh, like I'm not having to fix them. I don't have to come up with that next magic herb. Look, I've done all the things that I know to do, but she's still not responding. And that to know that so much of why they're not responding is their focus on the fact that they're not responding and not on, I love myself.
Yes. And that the reason you're in struggle is your own same process within yourself. So for Tony's a perfect example, how can I get into ease with supporting what's showing up in my life and not keep trying to do a headstand and do a dance and show a new technique and just allow this to be, there's something that's meant to happen here. Sometimes it's referring them to someone else and just allow that to come up for me. But if she's still coming, then there's still some space for some transmission and something to happen that has not completed between you. So allow that completion or intend for that, and you'll see that begin to open.
That's awesome. Anything else? I guess we got Jane. You need to meet Kimberly. Kimberly Zink with Clemmer and Associates, who lives in Durango. There you go. You've got all these contacts. You're new in town and you get to meet all these great people. Martha said, thanks for the good lessons and the gifts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're so honored to have you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.